Welcome to the Pulpit Ministry of Christ Community Church in South Florida, aiming to make, mature, and multiply disciples by preaching and teaching God's Word based on the sufficiency of Scripture. And now, let's join our preacher for the message.
Guys, as you guys know, in recent years, there's been numerous instances and some views that are religious freedom been under attack. There's been recent court cases and challenging our religious beliefs, right? There's instances of symbols in public spaces that have been challenges, right? Businesses facing legal actions due to making faith-based decisions, and the increased pressure to conform to secular norms in the educational institutions are also pressing today. But I want us to use these verses that we're about to read today as just encouragement for us and hope in terms when we do come face to face with persecution. Attention, attention. Order, order in the court. And I got to apologize. I bought this in Amazon. I thought it was going to be a lot bigger than this. But for the purpose of this prop, order in the court. We continue the case of Peter and John. We have Peter and John arrested, as you guys know, for preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ and for healing the crippled man. For healing in the name of Jesus. In other words, a miracle just took place. And as we follow the book of Acts and the different chapters that we're covering, and Bernie's been leading us through this, we're going from the meaning of that miracle to the message of the miracle to the persecution for a miracle. And now, let me get my prop. Persecution for the miracle and the perseverance of being persecuted. And that is what we will be discussing today. Perseverance in persecution. Now we know that Peter, he's already given his testimony saying that it was through Jesus' name that the man was healed. And this is the same Jesus that the Pharisees have put to death. But God raised back to life. So before we get into the passage, I want to take a running start and go back and read again the memory verse that we just read as we get into Acts 4, 13 to 22. I'm going to start in verse 10. And it says, "Let it be known to all you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead by his name is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under the heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Heard a couple of amens to that. So now let's get into the reaction. Now we get into verse 13 and we see their reaction, right, of the high priest and the council. So in verse 13 it says, "Now when they saw the boldness and the courage of Peter and John," right, they see this boldness, they see this courage, they see the tonality, they see their posture, they see how they're speaking, right? And all this is led by the Holy Spirit. And they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, but they were still astonished and marveled. They were marveled. And they recognized, as George mentioned prior, that they had been with Jesus. And there's so much that we can gain just from this first verse, verse 13. For starters, I love how every time in the Bible, God uses the uneducated, right? The uneducated to educate those that are supposed to be the educators of society, Right? We're talking laborers, fishermen, educating this high council in front of them. We can also see and determine how the Jewish leaders saw their boldness and conviction again with their tone, with their posture. They couldn't ignore it. The fact that they have been with Jesus cannot be ignored. And they rightly recognize these two. They rightly recognize that they have both spent time with Jesus. Now the application for us, or reflection for us, as we think about this text, and you can write this down or ask yourself internally, does your circle of friends recognize that you have spent time with the Lord? Do your family members say, hey, my nephew, he spent time with Jesus. He spent time in with the Lord. When you have conversations with others, do they hear Christ in you? Can they hear truth? Can they hear the gospel through you? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is evident to the entire council there that's present that Peter and John have spent time with Christ. One of the things that we have to realize is that when we serve an all-powerful God, there's nothing to fear from men. When we serve an all-powerful God, there's nothing to fear from men. And ultimately, congregation, this is what this passage is about. You're either living your life constantly fearing men, or you're living your life here temporarily fearing the Lord. When experiencing persecution, ask yourself that question. Whom will I fear? Whom will I fear? Can the people around you, your circle of friends, discern that you have spent time with the Lord? The last thing that I want to highlight from verse 13 is this beautiful reminder of Christ's promise to the disciples. And what a great promise it is. Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 16 through 20. And it reads, Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep. I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Behold, beware of men, for they will deliver you over to the courts. They will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, I'm going to say that again. When they, not if, but when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or how you are to say. For you ought to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father. The Spirit of your Father speaking through you. The Spirit of the Father speaking through you. The Spirit of the Father spoke through Peter and John. Peter and John did not need an attorney to be appointed to them, to be represented. The Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of God, was enough for them in that instant. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious. When they deliver you over, when you're mocked, when you're made fun of, when you're abandoned, when you're misunderstood, overlooked for whom you believe, the Spirit of the Father will speak through you. The Spirit of the Father speaking through you will give you boldness. Will give you boldness. The Spirit of the Father speaking through you will get those around you and let them know whom you truly fear. The Spirit of the Father speaking through you will bear witness and give glory to God. Amen. So again, ask yourself, what is my proximity to the Lord? What is my proximity to the Father? How near am I to my Father? When was the last time you sat to listen to God's voice? When was the last time you sat and read scriptures and read promises to yourself over and over? Ask yourself that question this morning. Let's continue in verse 14. It says, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, seeing the miracle, they had nothing to say. They had no opposition. The high priest, the council, the court had no denial, no rebuttals. No, hey guys, stop it. This is nonsense. Now, there was already a multitude of people watching what's going on. The proof was already in the pudding. It's clear to the whole city that they know about it, that this man has been healed and is standing right in front of their eyes. Verse 15 says, but when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another. The high priest said, hey, give us a minute, guys. Give us a minute. What are we going to do? Verse 16 says, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them. It is evident. All the inhabitants of Jerusalem can see it. And we cannot deny it. It's undeniable. This miracle is undeniable. They're saying it. But internally, they see the truth in front of them. But internally, the council, rather than to acknowledge this to the public, right? What's happening, they reject it. Right? They reject the miracle that's in front of their face, and they're choosing not to acknowledge it. And this reminds me a little bit about society today and what we see in the news and all this nonsense that we see about gender identity and gender X and when does life begin and all this stuff. And you have all these doctorates and PhDs and college professors having debate about what's a woman and what's not a woman, right? But just like Peter and John, you and I know. We know truth. We know scripture. And we live accordingly. But even back then, there was cancel culture. Even back then. Verse 17, it says, but in order that it may be spread no further among the people, let us warn them. Here we go, damage control. Let us warn them. We gotta protect our place here in society. We gotta protect our throne. Damage control. Let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name. To speak no more to anyone in this name. They didn't even want to acknowledge the name of Jesus. They just want all of this to get put under the rug and be done with it. They see the commotion that's happening. They just want all of this to go away. And time after time, the leaders, the high priest, the council, they saw Jesus doing miracles. Before, they saw Jesus speaking truth daily. And now they have Peter and John right in front of them. Again, after they have put him to death, declaring Jesus' name after his death. Now they're doing miracles in his name. Yet, the leaders and the high priest of this council wanted to cling to their own tradition. They wanted to cling to their own power. They wanted to cling to their way of life, their comfort zone. As you guys know, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and pick up the cross. The leaders, they wanted to gain the world but forfeit their life in Christ. In order for us, you and I, in order for us to persevere in persecution, we have to deny ourselves and pick up that cross daily. We have to deny ourselves and pick up that cross daily. We continue in verse 18. It says, so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all the name of Jesus. Not to speak or teach at all the name of Jesus. Basically, what they did was, come here, Peter and John. We're going to give you a warning. But don't you dare. Listen. Don't you dare speak the name of Jesus again. And before we go to verse 19, I want you guys to reflect a little bit. What would your response be if you were in that situation? Keeping in mind that persecution is real today in many parts of the world, even more so than here. We have it easy here. But keeping in mind that persecution is real, how would you have reacted if you were Peter and John? If they were told you, hey, do not preach the name of Jesus. Do not preach the gospel. Do not pray in public. How would you react? What would your reaction be if right now, city of Miramar, government demands you not to speak the name of Jesus? How will you react if they were to tell you, you no longer can glorify God? What will you do? What will your response be? Let's see what Peter and John say. Verse 19. But Peter and John answered them, pretty simple for them, saying, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you, or rather than to God, you must judge. Should we listen to you or listen to God? You decide. What do you think? And here it is. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. We cannot stop speaking of what we have experienced, of what we have endured. We cannot but speak. We cannot stay quiet. It's almost like those of you when you find your, or when you go on vacation and you come back from your vacation and you just can't stop talking about your vacation and the food and what you did or your first love. You can't stop talking about your first love, right? They cannot stop talking. They cannot stop praising God for what they have experienced in their lives. They cannot be quiet about the resurrection. They cannot stay quiet about the Holy Spirit arriving to them at Pentecost. They cannot stay quiet. These are the things that Peter and John have witnessed. And this is where they're coming from. They say, hey, I cannot stop talking about this. I will not stop talking about this. Amen. A man that's filled with the Holy Spirit will not be silenced with threats. When we're walking with the Holy Spirit daily, when we're walking with the Holy Spirit daily, we walk with a certain conviction. We speak with a certain boldness. We're able to draw the line. We're able to see that, hey, yes, I'm living here on this earth. Yes, I have a 9-to-5. Yes, I go here and I go there, but I am set apart. We're able to draw the line. We're able to stand firm in persecution. You guys remember the keys of contentment? Standing firm. And when I read this, this reminded me of something I actually went through or experienced. I remember one time about a year and a half ago, while we started operating our small business that Monica and I own. And there was a situation where corporate or the powers that be, and just for you guys know, we own a type of business where it requires parents to register with us to play certain sports. And the council, the powers that be, decided, hey, we're going to add the option for parents to register if they want to register as a male, as a female, or as an ex, whatever, fill in the blank. That was the corporate. And a lot of us, that just blindsided us because they didn't come to us and ask us. They just kind of just slid it in there, right? And people were starting asking questions like, wait, what's happening here? And they set up a call. And it was one of those Zoom calls where they have full control, right? You can't raise your hand. You can't unmute yourself. None of that, right? And they gave their spiel about, yes, we want to be more inclusive. This is great for the brand. Inclusion, diversity. This is needed. This is 2020. It was 2022 at the time. This is needed. And they went on and on and on and on for like 30 minutes. Then they gave us like 5 minutes. It's like, all right, we're going to unmute everyone to see if anyone has something to say. And I'm having popcorn. I'm like, man, what's going to go down here, right? Like, what's happening? And they unmuted, and there was just this thick silence, right? Like, thick silence. Like, nobody wanted to talk, including myself. I'm watching all this. I know I'm one of the owners, but I'm watching, right? And out of nowhere, this young, one of the owners, she's up north somewhere in North Florida. She addresses the president by name. And she's the only one that spoke, by the way. And she says, I'm sorry. This is a problem. And she says, hey, you are making me choose between my personal beliefs, my personal conviction over your decision. This is a problem. So right there, she's drawing the line. She said, hey, this is not for me. This is not for me. She says, you are making me choose. So what she decided and said, hey, until you figure this mess out, I'm closing down. I'm taking my programs off. I'm choosing not to make a living, because you can't get income if your program's not up. I'm choosing not to make a living because this is not what I stand for. What happens? Same thing as the high priest, right? We understand. Let us reconvene. Sure enough, about 48 hours later, I was off the website because that lady took a stand. I don't know what I would have done if it would have been just me and the president. But I was definitely convicted in terms of how she handled that. She said, this goes against my belief as a follower of Christ. The threat came. She stood firm. The threat came. She spoke boldly. How would you have reacted? How would you have reacted in that situation? There's a couple business owners here. How would you have reacted? And like I said, similar to the passage, verse 21. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them. Because the people, for all, were praising God for what had happened. For the men whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And when they say that is more than 40 years old, meaning that they've already seen this guy lame for a couple decades. That's what they're trying to highlight there. And another significant part about this is that when it says all men were glorifying the Lord, this reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount, where we're reminded to let our light shine before men. Let's go to Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Beautiful reminder. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do the people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When they see your good work, it will glorify the Father in heaven. This good work that was done for the lame man was a miracle. And Peter and John could have easily taken all this credit. They could have easily taken all this glory. But just as Jesus healed those in need for the glory of the Father, so did Peter and John. Here's another reflection question for us that we can think about as we sit here. Are we glorifying God with what He's done in our lives? Are we sharing our testimonies with others? Think about that, everything that needed to happen for you to be sitting right here, right now. The same way there's harmony in Scripture, there's harmony in God's will and how He operates. All the nuances that needed to occur for you to be here today, just reflect on that for a second. Are you glorifying God with what He's done in your life? And I know sometimes we got short-term memory with that, right? God blesses us, right? God's working in our hearts, and then we move on to the next thing quickly, right? Sometimes we have short-term memory. And I'm looking around here. Just by looking around here, I can see God's mercy and grace. There's so much power when we glorify God and share it with others. When we share the goodness of the Lord, there is power in that. There is power when we speak truth, when we share Scripture. I can personally share that one of my favorite things when I join our Thursday prayer call at CCC is that I get to hear. I get to hear about God's mercy in the life of my brothers and sisters. I get to hear about God's love. When the owner from the franchise, when she spoke on the call, like I mentioned to you guys, it encouraged others to do the same. Others suspended their programming. Others stopped collecting registration income because of her action, because she was able to draw the line, because she was able to be led by the Holy Spirit and be bold and stand firm in what she believed. We ought to be wise. We ought to be wise not to glorify men, but God. And although the Word of God reminds us that we ought to be model citizens, we ought to be the best citizens, by the way. The best citizens of Pembroke Pines and Miramar. We ought to be the best. And with this, I'll close. Let's go to 1 Peter Chapter 2, 13 to 17. This is what it says about being good citizens and how what our posture should be with government, right? Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Every human institution, right? Whether it be the emperor as supreme or the governor that's sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. 16. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, but honor the emperor. Again, we ought to fear the Lord and not man. And it's important to remind ourselves that authority is always going to come in a hierarchy form, right? If you think about this country and how we're set up, and most constitution, right? The constitution has the power to oversee certain laws. There's the federal law that has primacy over the state law, right? And you look in your home, your child has to honor his parents, right? So for us, the question is not so much of who's your authority, but rather who's your highest authority? Who reigns in your heart? Who reigns in your walk? Whom do you fear? When is it okay to defy authority? When is it okay to go against the norm? When is it okay to stand firm? We are always, always to obey an authority unless that authority, like the powers that be, commands us to do something that God forbids, or forbids us to do something that God has already commanded us to do. It's important. It's important to know in our lives what God has commanded us to do. That's why we should desire to draw near him daily. Peter and John knew that the council was in direct violation of God's commandment. Do you know when something is violating God's will over your life? And as we think about this year, and you're going to get into this whole political turmoil and all these different conversations, it's important that us as believers, that we are mindful, that we are mindful of where our true citizenship lies. Where does our true citizenship lies? The word of God tells us, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Be mindful in the conversations we engage ourselves in social media as we head into this political season. Be wise to what you hear and listen to in the news. Be wise to what you expose yourself to. Be wise to the podcast. I know we're all podcasters here. Be wise to what you're listening to. We have to remind ourselves daily that the culture voice, the political noise, can never be louder than God's voice. Let us pray.
Christ Community Church is a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting, and Bible-centered body of believers who love God and love people by making disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information on us and to learn how to give towards our media ministry, please go to our website at www.christcomchurch.org. That's christcomchurch.org, and look for the Giving tab at the top of the homepage.